Galatians 4, verses 21 to 31. The scripture is found in the Pew Bibles on page 825.
Thank you, by the way, Lucy.
Of course. Galatians 4, 21 to 31. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman.
Thank you very much. I would like to have a caveat to this message. The NIV that we have in front of us was written in 1984, which is 37 years ago. Long time ago. Not all that long, but long enough. And it has terminology that I would not use. I would use the word maidservant, which is the appropriate terminology. I would use in bondage, which is the language that Paul has used in previous passages in the letter of to the church in Galatians. And as we go through this message, I don't want you to think about, I want you to try and not think about colonial slavery as is our American history and the servitude of the time of Scripture in the Old Testament, if you can do that. And I understand that this is a very challenging passage. If we weren't going through the entire book of Galatians, I might say, you know, let's just skip this as the concluding remarks of a rather long argument. But we can't do that. So let me begin the message with that note in mind. Whether it is through genetics or genealogies, many are spending lots of time and money trying to discover their roots. There is a PBS show, Discovering Your Roots?
Finding
Your Roots, where a Harvard professor goes through as much history as he can find and his staff can find. It's why there's companies like Ancestry that has $1 billion in annual revenue. It's why 23andMe was sold a couple years ago for $4 billion. As long as there has been human history, people have wanted to know their family history. And family ties, at least the most noble cords, are typically recorded in family Bibles or embroidered on teaching samplers. But in fact, that is the topic of this challenging portion of Scripture. As Paul asks, as a way of concluding his argument that he began at the beginning of chapter 3, are we subject to the law? Can we have a relationship with Christ outside of the law of Moses? There were some that had infiltrated the church in Galatia that said no. And in particular, you needed to be circumcised. In order to be a believer in Christ, you needed to first become Jewish. Is that, in fact, what the Scriptures demand of us? Paul answers that question by asking, what branch of the family tree do you come from? But that question reveals a deeper truth. Verse 21, he says this, tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? Are you unfamiliar with, in particular, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the law? Are you unaware of Abraham and his children? You say, I'm a child of Abraham, and that's fine. But which child of Abraham? D.A. De Silva's commentary puts it this way. Paul offers a number of episodes from Abraham's story, particularly those concerned with Abraham's attempts to secure an heir by means of what lie within his and his partner's natural power, a child born of the flesh, and by means of the path designated by God, a child born of the promise or born of the Spirit. What Paul says is, if you know the history, there are two mothers, a handmaid and his wife. Age 75, Abraham and Sarah are called by God to leave the land that they are inhabiting and go to the land where God will tell them, will reveal to them, and there they will become a mighty nation. So they travel. And they travel for 10 years with this promise in mind. Sarah being 74 years old and Abraham being 75. And when Sarah is 84 years old, she says 10 years into the journey, I don't think this is the plan that God has. I don't think that we're doing it right. And what I want you to do is have relations with my maid, Hagar. So there are two mothers, Sarah and Hagar. And there are two means to accomplishing God's will or what we perceive to be God's will. At age 86, Abraham has a son. Actually, Hagar has a son. Abraham is the father. And she has the son, Ishmael. And Ishmael means God listens. God has listened to our need. God has heard our concern. God has blessed us with this child. And they think everything is right. Everything is good. God's promise didn't come to us, but we made a way. We came up with a plan. We created God's fulfilling promise. And God says, that ain't right. Sarah will have a child. At which point, Sarah and Abraham both laugh. And when Sarah is 99 and Abraham is 100, 14 years later, Sarah has a child, a son, Isaac, which means laughter. God listens even though we laugh at him, ironically. And in sharing just these verses from verses 21, these truths from verses 21 to 23, Paul is unearthing a truth. The promise of blessing the nation through the children of Abraham was the first step. Thank you. Sometimes we don't wait for the promise. So God enables us to be blessed in some regard sometimes, even when we don't follow, don't trust. Completely. And so the promise was fulfilled after the law was inaugurated. As I said, when Abraham was 85, he had a son, Ishmael. When that son, Ishmael, turned 13, God said, I am creating a covenant with you, a people with you, and I want all the males of your family to be circumcised. And so Ishmael was, Abraham was, all the manservants, all the people in the camp, all the men of the camp. And then a year later, maybe 9 months later, because he's circumcised at 99 when Ishmael is 13. Maybe it was the day after. We don't know. But we do know that God fulfilled his promise in a miraculous way, and Sarah had a child, despite the fact the promise has always been first. The promise has always been primary. And when we choose to mess up, choose to go our own way, God allows for that. But he doesn't change his promise. The claim was, I am a son of Abraham. But Paul asks the deeper question, are you a son of Hagar or are you a son of Sarah? Are you the one born in bondage or the one born of promise? Before he allows an answer, Paul offers his interpretation of these two mothers. Verse 24 says, these things may be taken figuratively. Literally, these things are to be seen allegorically, because they represent two covenants. Paul interprets the Hagar and Sarah narrative as an allegory. An allegory is a story where the characters and the actions represent greater truths. They are moral stories. They are to inspire us, to illuminate greater truth. They are not illustrative. Jesus typically did not speak in allegory. He spoke in parables, which says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. That's not an allegory. That's a parable. It's a simile. This is an illustration of what it's like in the kingdom of God. Paul says, I want to look at the story of Sarah and Hagar. While it is 100% historical, I want to look at it allegorically. I want to think about it as revealing a deeper, higher, greater truth. The two covenants from the two mothers. First, you have Hagar, who gave birth to Ishmael, which represents Mount Sinai and the law that God gave. And the law brings forth, as Paul has said, brings forth bondage. Once you know what the law is, you are bound to keep it. And that is a picture of that day's present Jerusalem. Present Jerusalem is the old covenant. The covenant of bondage to the law. Because everyone, as Paul has said in chapter 3, once you know it, you have to keep it. And if you don't keep it, you're cursed. This is a natural covenant. This is a covenant of the flesh. This is a provision through human effort. This is how we think we can reach God's righteousness. And those who live under it are required to keep it. There is another covenant from the above Jerusalem that represents freedom, because it is not Mount Sinai's law, but Mount Sinai's theophany, God's presence with Moses. And that is represented in Isaac and Sarah, who gave birth. The promise covenant trusts that God will provide. And those who live under it are free from the responsibility to provide it ourselves. And then, if that were not enough for the people that are listening, Paul then includes Isaiah 54, verse 1. He ties in Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 is one of the great promises of the restoration of Mount Zion. The restoration, the recreation, the restoring of Jerusalem. That the old Jerusalem will be done away with and the new Jerusalem will come. And it will be done through the promised Messiah. And Isaiah shares from the beginning of the barren woman. And Paul says, Sarah is that barren woman. Lived 99 years without a child. Even today, I don't think there's a 99-year-old woman that has had a child without medical assistance. There's been a woman that has had a baby through divine assistance. But what Paul is saying here is, as Sarah was rejoicing and being glad, crying out, because there is going to come a time when the people of promise will be blessed. And that's the time when Christ restores God's kingdom. Paul's closing argument is that followers of Christ need not live under the covenant of the law, but under the covenant of the promise. So we have to ask ourselves, am I a child of the promise or am I a child of the law? And Paul tells us why knowing these things are important. The first thing that he says in verse 28, now you brothers and sisters, and remember what he said at the end of Galatians 3. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is not a story of status. This is not a story of gender. This is not a story of identity, other than do you identify in Christ or do you identify in self? So all of us are like Isaac, children of promise. God will bless the nations through us. However, verse 29, at that time the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born in the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. The history of Ishmael's persecution of Isaac is at best murky. The scriptures would say that Sarah sees Ishmael, who's 13, 14 at the time, fooling around, playing. Not with Isaac, just playing. Just being a young man. And for whatever reason, she is upset, disturbed within her. Now, was there more going on? Maybe. What most people think, what most commentators think, is that the Judaizers were sharing the story of Hagar and Sarah and were saying, even at that point, that Ishmael did something that encouraged Sarah and ultimately Abraham to kick them out of the camp. Whether they did anything or not is, in some regard, immaterial. The connection that Paul makes, again, is a continuing allegory. That the children of fleshly desire oppress the children of promise. And ultimately, Paul is pointing to our rejoicing in that identification with Christ. Because we should consider it joy when we face persecution, because in the same manner, Christ faced persecution. Ultimately, what Paul says is that we should accept and enjoy our inheritance. That we are free from the burden of sin. That we are free from the need for empty cultural practices. That we are free from the control of our fleshly desires. That we are free from the fear of death. To live as free and not be bound to the law. And that's ultimately the point here, that he wants to bring home one last time. If you are free by the promise of God, then live as free because of the promise of God. It's been Paul's argument throughout chapter 3 and chapter 4. Our righteousness is not earned, but it is endowed. As a concluding appeal, Paul interprets Hagar and Sarah as two covenants, one bringing bondage and the other bringing freedom. And our sermon, in a sentence, is that God's promise for all people, including us, is freedom through faith. God has never demanded that we be burdened by human effort to secure his blessing. He has required that we believe his word. The covenant of circumcision was established after Abraham decided, I need to move God's plan along. I can't wait forever for God to fulfill his word. God's promise had already been made. God's promise was going to be fulfilled. And the law came, as Paul says earlier, because of our transgression, because of our overstepping what God desires for us. Abraham and Sarah overstepped. They took the place of God in God's timeline. And he said, well, if you want to live by keeping score and keeping track, then I will give you everything you need to keep track. But I will tell you this. Every time you misstep, it brings you further and further away from me. We need to believe him. That God is faithful. That his word is true. but that may lead to oppression. And when it does, we ought not to be discouraged or seek something to do. We're called to endure those difficulties faithfully, knowing that to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. That God is able to do in us immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. We can endure more than we think. We can serve more than we think. We can love more than we think. We can forgive more than we think. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God's promise is for all people, including us. And that promise is freedom through faith. Shall we pray?